Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Hello, good evening. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're going to be learning a bit more about the couple halacha. So I must say, to me, this is one of the... I just get so excited about this. You know, how they so... I just saw there's pictures of some G'dayli, Mamash G'dayli Yisrael. I'm going to refrain from mentioning the names. But some G'dayli Yisrael without couples. From just like some 100 years ago, 80 years ago. It was very normal to walk around without a couple, never mind passport pictures, but, so it is something which is really Achshir Adora. Let us see the background. Where does that come from? Because we mentioned yesterday there's three parts to it. Let's get this clear. So one is that, just to recap and then delve into the halachas to see them inside. There's three aspects to the couple wearing, not halacha, couple wearing, Yeah, three,
practice.
Okay, one is, the Gemara tells us that it helps and it increases and it develops a person's Yirat Shamayim. That's a fact. Does that make into a halacha? No, it doesn't. Does that make into a deraisa, drabonim? No, it doesn't. But it's an inyan, somebody who wears a couple, that leads and encourages and fosters a person's Yirat Shamayim. And the Gemara does bring in the concept of a little baby, a little child that was misbehaving, and by wearing the couple, the recommendation was, he's going to grow into a great Yirat Shamayim. Can you switch off the noise? How does that work? How do you mute?
The whole thing.
How do you do that?
Then there was a last question. He muted from the
washing.
And okay, that's one idea. And the reality is, they've been muted for good. Okay, and oops, they've disappeared now. All right. Are you sure you just muted them and you didn't?
No, they've all listened to you. This is
halacha. It's brought down in halacha. This idea, whilst it's not really the Raisa the Rabbonon, there is a halacha. It's brought down in halacha over here, the element of Yirat Shamayim. It helps Bezir Shamayim. Point number two, we're going to see that in greater detail now. There's one, that at some occasions a person must wear a couple. When is that? Davening, learning, brachas. We're going to see that inside shortly as well. And then there's one more aspect to that, one more knach, which we're going to see is very interesting. And that's the aspect, what the Taz brings, which is the aspect of, we mentioned yesterday briefly, Beis HaKnesses, or Chukas HaGoy. Just like when the Goyim, they ensure to take their hats off when they go to their services, Lahavdil, so we mustn't just take it off as we mustn't look like the goyim. So if you're now, so the taking it off is going to be a problem. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. So we learned the words of Shulchan Aruch. I'm not going to go over them. Lo yelech Abba Amas begilu Arosh. That's what the Shulchan Aruch said. Now let's see Mishnebuin Sivkot and Yud. Bottom line. The fact that, you see, the Yashamayim aspect, we said it's good for Yashamayim to have a couple. Well, is that helped by walking in a house that has a ceiling, a roof? Does that help at all? The Yashamayim aspect? Does a person's Yashamayim get developed by being in a roofed area? Mishmu says that it doesn't. So if you want to have Yirat Shamayim, it doesn't just help to be under a roof, but you have to do more than that. Now, I'm skipping three lines in Sifkot Yud Aleph. One, two, three, four lines. Yeah, now. Aval kvakosav ataz, the Taz writes, the Kaman Tzimun Ches, the Bezmanenu isogomu medina liyes begul arosh. The Taz says, we have nowadays a more stringent aspect to it. Nowadays you have to wear a couple. Why so? Even if you are in your house, ein shem atam. And that is, v'chein kosa b'tshuvas maribun, and that is what is the Taz is about, is what the B'chuk Hussein loy selichu. So you have to make sure, because of B'chuk Hussein, that you wear a couple. It is interesting that it's interesting. It's interesting how to apply that. So the goyim ensure to take their hats off. So we can't do the same. So what does that? So what does that mean, lemaisa? When do we need to wear a kapel? Sounds like always. So from the Mishnah's words, it does sound a bit, yeah.
But the taking off the hat when you sit down in shul to learn before Marav or whatever, that's not emulating the Goyish behavior because you still have a couple of
minutes. Because it's just more comfortable, so it's fine. But if you were to take off the hat straight before davening, because that's the way you feel more comfortable davening, say, you just, yeah. So if you just before davening, it would be a problem. If you literally take it off before davening, although having said that, if it's because of comfort, many people can say there's no problem of chukasim if you're doing something because of comfort. Yeah, what? Ah, because you're wearing a kapel as well. That's true as well. Yeah.
So we always take off before davening when we come on Shabbos morning.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but you're right in saying that, that because you are actually wearing still a kapel, so I suppose this halacha doesn't apply.
Is that why they have the yekas still wear their hats for davening with their tassels on, or is that for different?
It's a different, that's a different reason. Yeah, the takkid never used to wear hats. They never used to, yeah. Yeah, they didn't put on the talus over there. Exactly, yeah. Only the Rav would be allowed. In the proper Yekeshuot, only the Rav would put the talus over the head. Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Now, continues the Mishnah Berurah now, last narrow line. Now, it says for children also, it is proper and right and correct that they should be. That the head should be covered for children as well. That's what we mentioned now from the Gemara in Shabbos. It helps them to develop their fear of heaven. Cover your head in order that you should develop and have an increase. Now, does it help at all to put your hand over your bare head? Doesn't help?
No.
Says the Mishnah Berurah, "V'da oit the ilin gilu arosh dai bekisui ayad al arosh, v'adinim mefal arosh shorishori begilu arosh." So he says over here that if it's so what the Mishnah Berurah says, the way that they explain over here is that the bare hand wouldn't be good. The bare hand wouldn't be good. Exactly. The only way to that's put down in the post scheme as well, that if you need to cover your head because you don't have a couple, whatever the scenario may be, to just put your hand, Gemara says, one part of the body cannot cover another part of the body. So the only way to get is to take your sleeve, that's what's brought down actually, and you put it over your head, that will do the trick. So if a person is once in an emergency situation, and he needs to make a bracha, and he wants to cover his head, you can just take your sleeve and put it over the...
So that was better to maybe use a...
I don't know what's better.
Where
Pardon?
Where did you see that?
It's brought down in the poskim. Yeah, no, because what the Mishnah says over here, okay, so to get this clear, what the Mishnah over here is referring to, he says over here, in terms of the Yirah Shemayim aspect, maybe we should carry on the next Mishnah, we'll see in greater detail. So he says, what the Mishnah means over here, the way it's explained, is that he said at the end that Kilo Rosh is no good, and first he says that it is good, so what is he referring to? So it depends. If you're under a roof, in terms of the Yirah Shemayim, not brochas, not filler, not the taz, that is good enough to cover with your hand, as long as you're under a roof. But if you're atachas kisei shemayim, that wouldn't help. But that's only in terms of the Yirah Shemayim. Yeah, correct. Because ein guf mechaseh atzma. That's right. So you've got new base. Begil arosh. V'kol shkein she'also levorech. You certainly cannot make brachas with a bare head. V'adin lilmoit begil arosh. You also may not learn with begil arosh. For lo imani b'zekis hayad v'yad v'roish chad guf ve'inun. The hand and the body generally is considered one part of the body. You cannot cover yourself with your own body. V'en aguf yochel chaseh atzmoi. Yeah. He says that. No, because it's. I don't think so. It's an interesting question. I don't think so because it's still considered a body. I don't know. What do you think? Because I would have thought it's no good. Yeah, he's going to speak about Shaitl in a minute. Now, he says, at the end of this Mishtabus, if Kotnud Beis, he says, he speaks about the Beis Yad, the sleeve, which is good. A very practical person must be careful when he says, Tebrocha, when he puts on tefillin, Shalosh, you've got to be careful that you only recite Tebrocha once the kapel is back on. It is good practice. The truth, the reality is, I went through myself a few stages in my years. It is good to, it's better to pick up the kapel when you put on the tefillin. Because otherwise you may end up having an area which you've got a chatzitza. So it is good, it's actually good to pick up the kapel before you put on the tefillin shalom, or as you're putting it on. But just make sure that when you recite the bracha, that the kapel should be back on. And now it brings about the Right. If a person recites only one bracha, very good. So that's an interesting shayla, which the person can discuss. I get confused. I looked over it again over Shabbos, this discussion about how big the kapel needs to be. How big, you know, somebody's going to tell you size 5, somebody's going to tell you size 6. Yeah, that's right. So the emissary is, the Moshe says already, there is no real size. You know, there's no size. There's no minimum, maximum size. Reb Shlomo Kluge speaks about kisui roiv harosh. Now, what does that mean? The majority of your head. Now, if you take that literally, you're going to have one of those. It doesn't mean the majority of your head. It's a big, you know, the ones on the motorbike, which have got these, these things they put over. You know, it's got to be something. Is that, you know, what is exactly considered the majority of your head? So I saw one of the contemporary poets who said, it's talking about the majority of where your hair grows. Well, by me, that would be pretty small. So I'm not quite sure what exactly is. So, you know, it's got to be, I don't know, whatever. There's not a lochus about it.
Someone could see it.
You've got to see it from all the sides. Yeah. Well, then it depends on a person's height, surely, then.
No, but it's visible. In theory, it's visible. It's not like only small.
Right, okay, I didn't see this, actually, when I was looking at it.
When it's white, then
you can see it from far. Yeah, good, I'm with you. So, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm not sure, but... So, Prime Minister of Israel, what does he wear?
He wears a tiny one.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, I don't know if there's anything intrinsically wrong about a smaller size couple, besides perhaps what the Mishnah Berurah brings over here, which is actually, in England, out of all countries, perhaps the most relevant. He speaks about the peruk, which is what? A wig. A male wig, right? Messiahs. What about if somebody wears a... A toupee, that's it. Or in German, a peruke, which is what the Milchavetz Chaim seems to be referring to. Which is relevant, I remember, Avi Zitman, his father, he sits in what's called, in... He's a judge in, where is it? In the Old Bailey. So there, they have got these horse head wig, which they have to pay from their own money, apparently, which has cost many, many thousands of pounds. Ah, really? He's a judge. Yeah. So he wears them occasionally.
Yeah, it's the only time he covers his head.
Right, so is it okay if he wants to have a drink? Is that good enough? Can you just make a shakal, which is relevant for the, you know, you're sitting in a court case and I don't know what their protocol is about drinking, but in case they want to have a drink, can it just, you know, saves you from making a shakal and yeah, what was that? There was a few months ago, was the case in there was this big in America, one of the Trump something. There's also, I don't know the details. I just know it from a share. A person who was also one of very high solicitors or something was making a broch in public, and he went to all the media or something.
I saw that. One of the lawyers for
Trump. Yeah. Okay. So he also made a broch or something covering.
One of these from you were describing yesterday who is pretty.
He doesn't wear, right? Yeah, but when he wants to make a bracha. Okay, so he didn't wear a wig, but what about the wig? Is that okay? But auf äußern schon vorhin bewegt mit Tachtov yesh lesso mit dem Maris so ein. Shiyom u shesayu esen v'yesh mekilim. Mishmu says, in principle, it's fine. You wear his wig, this beautiful, stunning wig.
case with a chess player, he wore a wig, and he asked them, Moshe Feinstein, and he said, as long as three people in the town know.
And really, that's a very interesting fact, because Mishnah Berurah seems to be holding that since nobody knows that this is a wig, so you've got a problem with Marisa Ayn, because the person...
The judge's wig will be obvious.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is an argument to say that Mishnah also says Yesh Mekilim. What you're saying in Imre Moshe is also very interesting because it might not be Marisa Ayn. But in principle, I said it's fine. You've got to deal with the problem Marisa Ayn. So that's a lot. So Abayi said, just in short, we've got three problems with three reasons why a person should wear a kapel. One is the Yerushalayim we spoke about, to brachas, and then we've got a taz of chukas goy. I want to mention something which I think, I don't know if it's true or not. I believe, see, this whole idea of the taz, the whole idea of the taz, the chukas goy. See, I don't know nowadays if that still applies. That was like 200 years ago, 100 years ago, where the goyim were very, very, they were very serious about religion, much more than nowadays. Nowadays, it's like completely out the window. So they couldn't care less. The mamash couldn't care less. It's very hard to find believing Christians. It's very hard to find. I mean, there are, I'm sure there are millions, but there are definitely any decreasing... Yeah, it could very well be. That's true as well. It could be. Yeah, you're right. It depends.
There's
with
countryside and city as well. Very big difference.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's interesting. Countryside, there's many more.
Much more religion, right? Interesting. I'm taking that. Yeah.
In the cities, it's very, very atheistic.
Right. So I just wonder. I would like to suggest, and I wonder if this whole task of you got to wear a couple because goyim make sure not to wear a couple, and that's therefore chukas goy. I wonder if this nowadays perhaps a bit less so, because they don't care about taking the hats off and on. They couldn't care less. So see, if they don't care so much, there might not be a problem of chukas goy. I'm not sure.
Can we go the opposite direction and say that now it's such a minhag to wear it?
For by us,
it's like a dusty.
So by us now, this is a real statement not to wear. Yeah, I know, but it's hard to source a mekoy for that. Yeah. Okay. They have an obligation to cover their hair as well. Yes.
Well, what's the whole thing? It's a minhag or whatever. It's quite clear in the Shulchan Aruch that it's also to go without your head. Revealed.
Yeah, so we're just trying to investigate the beginning. We're trying to investigate where does that come from? Where is that from? What is that exactly? Where does this halacha come from? You're right. Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't, but at the same time, you can also see.
There's also.
Yeah, but where does it come from? What is it? So the Reis of the Rabbon on Minik, where is it from? And at the same time, also, you can see from the Shulchan Aruch itself, he brings it together in Tzivav with also Lelech Bekoim Zekufav, which is a very, it's like more like behavioral halacha. It's not. And then he says also Viv Dagnakovov, which is also just a halach of preparing yourself for davening. So you can see from the context of Shulchan Aruch that it's not a din. You can see the way Shulchan Aruch is bringing it. It's not a din. It's not like other halachas that it's more like anhogas. It's more like anhogas.
When you say
osu,
though.
No,
osu
is like.
Osu is quite. Yeah, osu sounds. You're right. Osu lelech becomes a kufa. Yeah, I know, but what is that din? Is that a din? Oslelech becomes kufa? It's not something that you can find in. Where does it come from? It comes from a Gemara. Well, I'm not going to call it Midrashic Gemara, but it comes from a Hanhoga. It's more like Hanhogan behaviors rather than real din. Of course, excluding the Taz. I want to just add that the Shlach Kodesh writes that one should also be makpid at night. The Shlach Kodesh says one should also ensure to have head covering by night as well, also because of Yiras Shamayim. Right, the Shulchan Aruch continues last few words of this Seif. V'yiv doik nekovov. What does V'yiv doik nekovov mean? So V'yiv doik literally means to check nekovov, a person's. What's that? Is that what it's called? Yeah, make sure that before you go davening, aloch is before a person goes to davening, you should make sure that it doesn't have to be excused. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "If cotton your gimel, kidei she'achkach gufenoki, they should make sure that he's body is clean. B'shas kabbalas malchus shemaim. B'ki hashmah b'tfilah that he should daven clean. Yeah. Now, what is important is that there's no halacha. I'm sorry, I'm just going to be very, because I know there's some confusion in it, and some people are really confused about this. I'm going to be a bit, perhaps not so elegant, but there's no halacha to be excused. There's halacha to check. I know some people get very nervous about this in some circles. You don't actually have to, you know, to be excused. Wait until you have to, and then, you know, be excused. There's no halacha. If a person has to go, he has to go. If a person doesn't have to go, then he doesn't have to go. The halacha is to check yourself. Yeah, that's very clear from Mishnah Berurah as well. Continues the Rama. Ve'ichase kol gufoi, and he should cover himself. He should be covered. His body should be covered. Ve'lo yelech yoche. If a person should not walk. Check yourself is that you have to be consciously aware. Do I need to or not? Yeah. Yes, it's not physical check. It's a cognitive. A person should not walk bare feet. Where does that come from? Don't walk around bare feet. Is that halacha? Not walk bare feet. Do you know in the sixties, the hippies? Do you remember? Yeah.
Is that even a thing? Is that a thing I could take off at home? You shouldn't walk around bare feet.
Okay, so let's speak about that. So what does Mishnah Berurah explain? If cotton you tell it, Yochev Omer Chachameinu, the Gemara tells us, Shim Kol Adam Kol Ma Sheyesh Lo, person should sell everything he has. V'yikach Min Olim LeRaglav, but he should purchase shoes. You gotta have shoes. Sell everything, but don't walk around bare feet. You must own shoes. Now, however, Mekoy Mesorev in the Arab, Oriental, warmer areas, that people tend to walk around bare feet, you're sure it's permitted, it's fine. Additionally, im oit kaze b'shem shloah, the shloah also, the shloah kodesh also, right, im oisim ishim tshuva, halav v'noisim mutav, a person walks around bare feet because of tshuva, he's done terrible averas, and he just feels that, oh, I need to walk over some glass and metal and things, because I've done bad averas, and that's the way I'm going to do kapora. Alright, mutav, that's fine as well. V'chenos David HaMelech, halav shalom oilich yochev, and David HaMelech, the greatest of all our kings, he also, sometimes for tshuva, he walked around bare feet. So, does that mean you're not allowed to walk bare feet in your house, yes or no? What do you think about saying?
What's the reason for that?
So, the reason is because of, well, what's the background? That a person should sell everything and not walk around bare feet. So, the reason for this halach is because of tznias, it's dignity. It's dignity. It's contrary to what some people think, that it's because of avelus. Nothing to do with avelus. It's got nothing to do with avelus. It's about tznias. Tznias.
That's the word somebody's got, like,
and therefore, let me just finish off my sentence. Therefore, in the areas that it's common to walk around bare feet, you just go to the the Bedouins and they look at, you know, it's quite common to walk around. So, you know, it's just about, because that's not a lack of sneers over there. It depends on the society. You know, whatever goes. In Rome, do we have the Romans?
Well, somebody comes in with the people do that in hot weather, sandals and no socks or crocs.
Yeah. So Crocs for sure, sandals, like, that's for sure. Okay, we took it literally bare feet. Literally bare feet is a problem because of sneers.
Health and safety.
You see, the Shulchan Aruch comes. It was a couple of thousand years before. Right. Okay. So yeah, they were long before. They were there before. Our boy said, to summarize what we learned this evening, we spoke about the three reasons why a person should wear couples. Yirat Shemaim, brachas and tefillah, and the Taz of Chukas HaGoy. We also spoke about the halacha, the person should check himself before davening. And we also spoke about a person should cover his body. We spoke about there's an issa to walk around bare feet because of tznias. And V'yagin, if we just finish off this, because we finished the sermon for today, V'yagin atzma lefono is boike v'reir, she was rizv in a kiss, the person should get used and accustomize himself to be excused in the morning and the evening, because that's rizv in a kiss. Haboisai, keep in mind, there was no toilets like we've got nowadays, so it would be a bit more of a procedure. Only with that understanding would be able to understand future halachas. But a person should have customized to go in the morning and in the evening, and like this is going to be cleaner, and these are halachas for this evening. Okay, I wish you a very, very good evening.